The world's wealth and riches can be bought and sold, but I possess a treasure far greater than gold. 'Twas a gift passed down to me from heaven above. 'Twas a gift of my Father's love. And my Father's love is strong and true, always believing, always seeing me through. So no matter what happens in His grand design, I'll be fine with my Father's love. Safe and secure now in His love alone, I find here my place of worth as one of His own. And I don't need everything this world wants to give, 'cause I live with my Father's love. And my Father's love is strong and true, always believing, always seeing me through. So no matter what happens in His grand design, I'll be fine with my Father's love. So no matter what happens in His grand design, I'll be fine with my Father's love. With my Father's love, I have my Father's love. I have my Father's love.
Amen. That was a blessing. That was good. Please open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy, actually we'll go ahead and go to chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Pastor, thank you for the opportunity to preach tonight. It's a privilege to stand behind the pulpit and preach, and I appreciate the opportunity. I enjoy working for Pastor. It's really been a blessing being on staff. I remember the first time I heard Pastor preach. My daughter Kennedy is 5 years old. She's in kindergarten. I remember as a five-year-old boy being at First Baptist Church in Dwight, grew up in Dwight, and I remember one day, Brother Wilbert, I forget if it was school or if it was a church service, but I remember Brother Wilbert came out one day and he said, "My good friend, Brother Angel, is going to preach for us." And I was sitting there close to the front, 5 years old, little guy. I remember Pastor coming out and opening the Bible and preaching, and that stands out in my mind. And that was 25 years ago. And I'm thankful for the faithfulness of our pastor. And 25 years ago when he preached, he opened the Bible, he lifted up Christ, he preached doctrine, he preached the Word of God. 25 years later, he opens the Bible, he still lifts up Jesus Christ, preaches the doctrine of the Word of God. It's encouraging. And I didn't know then that I would be able to be a part of Faith Baptist Church or work for pastor, but I'm thankful, and it's a blessing. I appreciate my dad being here tonight. One of the things about my dad and mom that I'm really thankful for is they encouraged me to serve the Lord. I got kind of a funny story to tell on my dad. My mom has a cold tonight, so she's not here, but it kind of works out that she is not here for this story. So my dad did the nursing home in Dwight for 7 years. He would preach on Wednesday night, and the nursing home service was right before the church service. And I'm thankful that my mom and dad encouraged me to serve God. And I remember being 13 years old, my dad called the house, and he had to work overtime. And Mom answered the phone. They went, "Hey, Morgan, how you doing? Oh, you want to talk to Alan? Okay, Alan, come over here." And it was 4 o'clock on Wednesday. The nursing home service started in 2 hours, and we still needed to eat and get dressed for church. And Dad said, "Alan, I need you to preach tonight in the nursing home. And I said, okay, well, I had never preached before. And, and Dad said, son, it'll be fine. You know, just open the Bible, get a piece of paper or a pen, start writing a message. And I said, well, Dad, I don't have any sermon ideas. And I remember this, Dad. He said, this is exactly what he said. He said, Alan, just say a prayer and God will give you a sermon idea. I said, okay. I said, well, that's what Dad said. So I got off the phone and I went over to Mom and I said, well, I guess I'm preaching tonight in the nursing home. And I said, but I need to go pray because I have no idea what I'm going to preach on. I've never preached before. So I go and over by the couch and I pray, you know, Lord, please give me a message idea. And no idea comes to mind. I'm like, well, Dad said that God would give me a message, so I'm going to say another prayer. So my mom comes over after about 2 minutes, and my mom's thinking, okay, you know, we got to eat dinner. He's got to get his dress clothes on. He only has like 55 minutes at this point to write his message. And so my mom said, Alan, I'm glad you're praying, but you need to start writing your message. And I said, Mom, you know, I just cannot think of a message idea. So Dad told me to pray, and then I would get a message idea. And Mom said, okay, well, you better get praying and get writing. So she left. And my mom is the sweetest lady that I think I've ever met. But for some reason, she was fired up, you know, about something. And she came back. She came back like 2 minutes later. And I was still praying. And she said, Alan, what are you doing? And I said, Mom, I don't have a good sermon idea yet. And there was a dramatic pause right there. And my mom looked at me and she said, Alan, how about David and Goliath? And I said, Mom, that's a great idea. And I said, Dad was right. Dad said, if I would pray, I would get a good sermon idea. And so Pastor called me yesterday and said, I might need you to preach. So I called my mom. I said, hey, Mom, you got any good sermon ideas? And no. But this you'll I don't mean any disrespect toward the elderly, okay? So I'm 13. This is my first time preaching in a nursing home. So I preached about David and Goliath and the giants of the nursing home. And one of my points was that some of the seniors, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, one of my points was that the seniors had to face the giant of nursing home food. And I remember preaching and saying, some of you seniors, look at your mashed potatoes. And you know they're not really mashed potatoes. And I've never seen my mom roll her eyes during preaching. But my mom looks at me, you know, she rolled her eyes. But I set my face like a flint and I preached. And then one of the workers in the nursing home, you know, crossed her arms. I was preaching about how the nursing home food didn't taste very good. But nevertheless, I preached on, amen. And but I look back at that and laugh. But I'm thankful that my dad, growing up, he enjoyed serving God, and he encouraged me to serve the Lord. And so I'm just thankful for that. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 2 in your Bibles. We're going to read the first three verses. This will be our text verse for tonight. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says here, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. I want to preach a message tonight entitled, First of All. First of All. This will be a message on prayer. And let's have a word of prayer and we'll get into the message tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be at church tonight. Lord, thank you for what we've already experienced, for the singing. And Lord, the time of prayer, and Lord, the people that are here. And Heavenly Father, I pray you'd give me grace to preach the message tonight. I pray the church would have grace to receive it. Help it to be an encouragement, God. I pray that tonight we would be strengthened in the Word of God. I pray that we would grow in grace. And Lord, please help us tonight, Lord, to see a blessing from your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. So here in 1 Timothy, Paul is writing, of course, to the young preacher Timothy. Paul had helped train Timothy in the ministry. And in Paul's letter to Timothy, he makes his theme very clear in the book of 1 Timothy. The theme of the book is order in the church. And I'd like to take a look real quick. Look at chapter 3 and look at verse number 15. So Paul's giving instructions to this young preacher. And he puts a lot of emphasis on order within the church and that things would be right within the church, right doctrine, right behavior. He says in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth." And so God puts forth very clearly through the Apostle Paul order in the church. And Paul gives the responsibilities in the book of 1 Timothy. He lays out the responsibilities for men. He lays out the responsibilities for women. He lays out the qualifications for pastor, the qualifications of deacon. And he talks about God's structure within the church. And I want to say, as I was thinking about this today and last night, this thing of order in the church, a lot of what Paul wrote in 1 Timothy had to do with responsibility. It had to do with taking up our responsibility within the church. And you know, as I think about Faith Baptist Church and I think about Paul wrote to the men and he wrote to the ladies, I have to say tonight that I'm thankful for the godly men in our church that are men for God. I'm thankful for the men in our church that have taken responsibility as God has led them, and it helps there to be order in the church. I'm thankful for the ladies in our church that are ladies for God and that take up responsibility as God leads them, and that helps there to be order in the church. Look at chapter 1, and we'll kind of lay the groundwork as we're getting into chapter 2 to help us get some context for our text verse. But in chapter 1, if you look at verse number 1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Christ and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia," look at what he says here, "that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." So Paul's writing about order in the church, and right away he puts emphasis on doctrine. Because in his generation, in the first generation of Christians, there was doctrinal error. There was people that were departing from the true doctrine. And every generation has to fight that battle. Hey, as I think about doctrine, I'm thankful for the doctrine that is preached at Faith Baptist Church. I'm thankful that every time we have a message, the Word of God is open, and we have Baptist Bible doctrine. Doctrine is important. What we believe determines how we live. I thought about this. He talks about doctrine several times. Look at verse number 5. "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure conscience, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned." But look at verse 6. "From which some, having swerved aside, have turned aside to vain jangling." Some had turned aside in this generation from true doctrine. I thought about this concerning this scripture. In our generation, unfortunately, there are many that have turned aside from true doctrine. Hey, if you go on the internet today and you're looking for false doctrine, it's not very hard to find. If you're looking for, there's an abundance of Bible teaching today on the internet, but as a believer, and I want to say this to young adults, because a lot of times, and I'm preaching to myself tonight, a lot of times young adults will start to read things on the internet that honestly we have no business reading. And I want to say this tonight, if you start reading somebody on the internet, and it may even be a Baptist, if he starts to err in basic Bible doctrine, can I say to you, stop reading? Hey, don't read. We are very easily impressioned by the things that we read. And there's a lot of young people, hey, I'm 30 years old. There's a lot of 30-year-old Baptists that honestly, they're getting twisted because they're reading the wrong things. There's a necessity for sound doctrine. Hey, there's enough good writing. There's enough good material out there to read what is true and what is right. There's a fellow on the internet that writes a lot about how the church is going to go into the rapture. It's on the internet. Hey, I'm not going to say his name. But he's writing this. But this is what I thought about. This guy that's writing, and unfortunately people, you know, get into it and follow it. This preacher does not believe in the doctrine of repentance for the New Testament church. Now think with me. Repentance is a basic Bible doctrine. In the New Testament church, we must repent to get saved. When the Apostle Paul got saved on the road to Damascus, he did not add Jesus to his life and go in the same direction. He turned his life around. There was a change of heart, there was a change of mind, and it led to a change of action. And this is what I want to say tonight. When you read somebody, there's a lot of great things to read. I'm for reading. I enjoy reading. But if you read after somebody and they err on basic Bible doctrine, can I say to you tonight, stop reading? Don't read that. Hey, if somebody doesn't understand the doctrine of repentance, can I say I'm not going to go read what they have to say about eschatology? And furthermore, I use this analogy. If I go to a mechanic for an oil change, or I go to the garage, and the mechanic cannot change my oil, okay? He doesn't specialize in oil changes. That's fine. I'm not going to go to that same mechanic and ask to get my transmission swapped out. And it amazes me that people will read after somebody that doesn't believe in a basic Bible doctrine called repentance, which is in the New Testament dozens of times, and they'll go for eschatology. Hey, no. If they err on basic truth, they will err on the more advanced things in the Bible. I'm just saying tonight, be careful what you read. Hey, be careful who you read. Because we can be impressioned by the things that we read. We don't want to err. There's a possibility that we could err, that we could be pulled away from the faith. In verse number 11, Paul begins to talk about what his emphasis was on doctrine. He says this in verse number 10 at the very end. He said, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, he says, hey, beware of it. Stay away of false doctrine. And then in verse number 11, look at what Paul says. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Hey, the Apostle Paul understood that God Almighty had entrusted him with the mystery of the gospel. And I'm going to say the doctrine that Paul, the Apostle Paul, lifted up first and foremost was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Hey, what a blessing to be a part of a church where the doctrine of Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection, is lifted up every Sunday. Hey, what a blessing to be a part of a church where the Bible is open, line upon line, precept upon precept, the Word of God, sound doctrine. We need to be thankful for it. Man, thank God for sound doctrine. Look at verse number 19. Look at what he tells Timothy, holding faith. And this is why I want to say to every young adult that's in their 30s, I'm 30 years old, we need to make a decision that we're going to hold the faith. We need to make a decision, number one, that we're going to know our faith, that we're going to know what it is, that we're going to study these things out. Hey, we need to make a decision that we're going to love our faith and that we're going to live the faith. We need to be in. Hey, as a young adult in Faith Baptist Church, as a church member, I want to be in concerning the faith. I want to hold on to it. I don't want to have the mindset, oh, we need to change our faith. We need to change things. We need to change our beliefs. No. Hey, I've been entrusted. I was handed the faith from another generation. I was taught the Word of God. We need to hold our faith. In chapter 2, Paul gets into responsibility. In chapter 1, he says, have sound doctrine. And then in chapter 2, he begins to talk about the responsibilities in the local church. And the very first thing that Paul talks about is prayer. And honestly, the main application of this falls on the shoulders of the men, because he specifically directs this, first of all, to the men. Now, there's good application for everybody. We're all supposed to pray, men, ladies, children, teenagers, everybody. But he starts off dealing with the men. Look at verse number 1 again. I exhort, therefore, that first of all. Hey, there's a lot of good things that we're going to talk about, Paul says. There's a lot of important stuff in the church. But the first thing, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Boy, Paul put the emphasis on prayer. Hey, Timothy, first of all, the men of your church need to pray. Prayer was not to be the last resource. Prayer was to be the first resource. Prayer was not to be on the back burner. Paul said, put prayer on the front burner. First of all, pray. E.M. Bounds wrote this about prayer. He said, prayer projects faith on God. Prayer places our faith, the faith in our heart, it places our faith on God. And prayer projects God on the world. Prayer projects God on the world. I thought that was a great statement. E.M. Bounds, man that understood prayer. But hey, first of all, we need to pray. I don't know about you, but many times in my Christian life, I've encountered a problem. Maybe it was a spiritual need. Maybe it was a material need. Maybe I was going through, man, I thought at the time, man, you know, maybe you get an unexpected bill or have an unexpected problem. And I know that many times for me, I've been guilty. This message is for me first, okay? I've been guilty of, first of all, trying to figure it out. First of all, oh man, I've got an unexpected financial need. Yeah, maybe. And I remember back when I was working at the warehouse, man, sometimes the first thing I would think of is, man, maybe I can work some overtime. Hey, maybe I can make some adjustments. Maybe I can look at my budget and say, maybe I can take from here and take from there. And so many times in the Christian life, first of all, when we encounter a problem, our first response is to try to figure it out. There's nothing wrong with working overtime to pay a bill. There's nothing wrong with looking at your spreadsheet and trying to... Hey, I believe that God's for that at times. But can I say tonight that when we have a need in the Christian life, if it's a spiritual need, if it's a material need, first of all, don't try to figure it out. First of all, get on your knees and go to God in prayer and say, God, I have a need and I know that You have an answer. First of all, the first response of the heart needs to be prayer. And we always have to go back to that. Prayer is showing dependency on God. Before I try to figure this out, I need to show faith in God. Number one tonight, very, very simply, when there is a spiritual need, first of all, go to God. When there is a spiritual need, first of all, go to God. As Timothy was pastoring his church, he would minister to people with spiritual needs. And Timothy, no doubt, as he's pastoring this church, he was going to meet lost people that had a spiritual need. Man, salvation is an obvious one. Every man needs to be saved. Hey, look at what he says in verse number 3. He even talks about this. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Look at what he says in verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Hey, the honest truth is tonight, all of us know someone that needs to be saved. All of us know somebody that have a spiritual need. The spiritual need of salvation. And well, we know it's important to witness to the lost. We know it's important to tell folks that we love and that we know how they can be saved, to tell them the gospel. But hey, I just want to remind us tonight, based upon the Word of God, that when we know someone that has the spiritual need of salvation, first of all, the first response, hey, before we witness, before we do anything, first of all, pray and say, God, help so-and-so to come to Christ and be saved. When someone needs to get saved, it's a spiritual need, and God has a spiritual answer. I appreciate the Hegel family. They're not here tonight. I appreciate Miss Denise. Miss Denise had a good friend whose name is Denise. Okay, Denise Berry, and Denise cut Denise's hair for 28 years. That's a long time to cut someone's hair. And she took care. Denise was taking care of Denise's hair, and the customer, Denise, her husband's name was Tom. Tom Berry. He ended up with cancer, brain cancer. It was really bad. And I appreciate Miss Denise that she did not only view Denise as a customer, but she saw the spiritual need that her friend had. Denise and Denise became friends. Denise started praying for Denise, started praying for Tom. She put Tom on the prayer list, and Denise prayed. Brother Scott and Logan, they prayed. They prayed for Tom Berry to get saved. They prayed for Denise Berry to get saved. And they prayed and they witnessed and they prayed and they witnessed. And you know what Tom and Denise did? And this is what folks often do. At first they resisted. They were not interested in the gospel. And she said it got really bad. Tom ended up on his deathbed about 6 weeks ago. And it looked like he was coming to the end. And Denise had prayed and prayed. And Scott and Logan had prayed and prayed. And they said, you know what? We're going to go by one more time. And we're going to witness. And she called the church on a Wednesday. It was my third day on the job at the church. And she said, hey, you know, I want to witness to this family one more time. And she told me over the phone, she said, Alan, last time I witnessed to these folks, it did not go well. Okay? Last time they said, no, I'm not interested. They were not interested. They're Catholic. The priest had come to give the last rites. And they, you know, they're not interested. So they might just send us out. So I thought, well, all right, well, that'd be interesting, but we'll give it a try. So I drove over to Crescent City and met Denise, and we went over to that house. And I was nervous at the visit. You know, sometimes you're nervous when you're about to make a visit and you don't know how it's going to go. They might be closed to the gospel. They may not be interested. And we go into this house, and the house was filled with smoke. I mean, it was a smoky house, you might say. They were both, as far as I know, I got the impression they were both smokers. And so, boy, we went in there, and there was a lot of family there. We go to the back room, and here's a man, obviously, doesn't have long to live, has a couple of weeks to live. And I said, Denise, okay, after you visit for a little bit, just let them know I'd like to say a prayer for them, and maybe we can use that to segue into giving them the gospel. And I was nervous. I thought, well, they might send us out, but it doesn't hurt to try. But Denise had prayed. And Denise had prayed. She didn't just witness, she prayed. And her husband prayed, and her family prayed. And I said, Tom, I'd like to say a prayer for you today. Tom, I'm from the church, from Denise's church. Could I say a prayer for you? And I started to pray for Tom. And I'll tell you what, that was a smoke-filled house. And you could smell the smoke and you could feel the smoke. But there was another presence in that house. And when I started praying and said, God, would you please help Tom today? Would you please give him grace? Hey, as I started praying, you could feel the grace of God in the room. And I'll tell you what, I knew, hey, there's been some people praying for this man. The church has been praying. Denise has been praying. And all of a sudden, that man who's been a Catholic for his entire life, and the priest had already come and given him his last rites, he lowered his guard and he listened to the wonderful story of the gospel, how Jesus died for our sins and was buried and rose again. And he heard the gospel story and he started. And when we got done, I said, do you want to pray? And this was his prayer. Jesus, I believe in you. And he asked Christ to come into his heart and save him. And the only way that that happens when someone has stiff-armed God's people and stiff-armed the gospel is the grace of God came to that man and softened his heart. And the grace of God comes when the prayers of God's people go before. And that man got saved. Because people at Faith Baptist Church were praying. That man got saved because Denise Heagle was praying. Her husband was praying. Her family was praying. Hey, can I tell you tonight that when we have needs, when we know people with spiritual needs, there's a God in heaven that can save tonight. The grace of God. Hey, he's got an abundance of grace tonight. The grace of God is not limited tonight. Hey, the power of God is not limited tonight. Paul understood the power of the gospel. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. In Romans, he said, oh, I'm not ashamed of it. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Hey, God's grace is here tonight. God's grace is able. And so many times our my failure is, first of all, let's pray. Hey, who do you know tonight that's not saved? We need to pray. We need to ask God. We need to go to God on their behalf and seek the heart of God. Prayer moves the heart of God. I got a phone call a week ago Friday from one of my bus dads back in Iowa. Justin called me. And it was 8 o'clock in the morning. It was the morning of the craft sale. So Abby and I were just about to head to the church. And he called me and he said, hey, Alan, started chatting with him, and his sister Erin had passed away of liver failure. And I started thinking about that mom, 42 years old, two children, and passed away. And I started thinking about her life. And I started to think about how prayer had made a difference in her life. Her son, Gavin Chavez, came on the bus to Sunday school, came on the bus to church. And Gavin was a great bus kid. He loved church. He loved singing the songs. He loved hearing the preaching. He just loved it. And he got excited about the things of God. Gavin started to pray. I remember going over to his house one time and talking to Gavin. And Gavin said, he would say, Brother Alan. And he said, I'm praying for my mom to get saved. A 7-year-old bus kid praying for his mom to trust in Christ. And we had a contest on the bus to send some of the bus kids to camp, and Gavin got excited about it. And just kind of a side note, we went to Cedar River Baptist Camp, and Gavin had this mohawk. And I thought, well, that mohawk is coming off, amen. So we were at camp for about 10 minutes, and sure enough, you know, I can't say that he came down to the altar and gladly gave it up. He was crying, and he was upset, but he gave up his mohawk for Jesus, amen. I thought his mom was going to kill me when that happened. She came to the camp and visited us at camp, like on Tuesday. Gavin runs up to his mom, gives her a big hug. Mom, they cut off my mohawk, you know. And I'm like, oh, man, you know. That was not good. But the good thing was Gavin was praying for his mom to get saved. And so he got excited about this contest on the bus. And he said, I want to bring my family. So he brought his mom, Erin. He brought his mom's boyfriend, Tommy, and then Tommy's son, James, and then they brought Grandma, Donna, and then they brought his cousin, Kari, and man, they all came to church. Justin came to church, and they heard the gospel, and 2 weeks after that, Gavin said, Brother Alan, I'm praying for my mom to get saved. She was out in the front yard at the house. We were there, bus workers, giving them the bus flyer, telling them about the bus, and we were in the front yard, and we opened up the New Testament, and we said, Aaron, you know, we've witnessed to you before. You got to come to church and hear the gospel. We went through the gospel again. And because of the prayers of a 7-year-old bus kid, his mom accepted Christ as her Savior. I mean, it's sad that she died of a liver failure. It's sad that her kids are now without their mom. But man, you think about the hope that the gospel of Christ brings to our life. Hey, she's in heaven today. And I want to say this. If you've witnessed to someone and led them to Christ and they fell away from the Lord, it's not in vain. It's not a waste. They're going to be in heaven someday. But boy, I think about that. Hey, the prayers of a little boy move the heart of a big God. And we need to pray. Hey, first of all, we need to pray. Who do you know that needs to get saved? Pray for them. First of all, He's a God that can supply salvation. For man's spiritual need, God has a spiritual supply. Hey, God is able to draw them. God is able to save them. But we need to pray. When there is a spiritual need, first of all, go to God. Number two, when there's a material need, first of all, go to God. As Timothy led his congregation, there would be those in the congregation that had material needs. Every church, hey, we all go through times where we have material needs. And I said this before, when we have material needs, I'm guilty of, man, first of all, let's try to figure this out. Let's try to do this. Let's try to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But can I say tonight, very simply, when you have a material need, when you have something that you need for your home, for your family, whatever it is, first of all, go to God. Jesus taught the disciples to pray for daily bread. He said, hey, when you pray to the Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Ask God for what you need. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus was teaching about how God provides for us. And Jesus said to the disciples, consider the ravens. And he was teaching about how God provides for his people. In the Bible, a raven was an unclean bird. In the Bible, a raven was unfit for ceremonial for the sacrifice. You couldn't, if you were poor, you could bring a pigeon. You could sacrifice a pigeon if you were poor, but you couldn't bring a raven. Because a raven was a scavenger bird. A raven was an unclean bird. It didn't really have a lot of use in the Old Testament for the Jews. They weren't allowed to touch them. They weren't allowed to, hey, you can't offer it for a sacrifice. And so, but God, Jesus says, consider the ravens. Job asked an interesting question. Who provideth raven? Who provideth for the raven his food? Job 38:41. When his young ones cry unto God, they wander for lack of meat. An interesting thing about ravens, I read this a couple years ago, the mother raven a lot of times forsakes her young and leaves them to fend for themselves. So the young ravens don't have a mom bringing them food. And so Jesus said, hey, when he's talking about God meeting our spiritual needs, you know what he said? Consider the ravens. Job asked the question, how do the ravens have food? And Jesus gives the answer. Jesus said they neither sow nor reap, they neither have storehouse nor barn. Listen, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? I think it's amazing that God in His love and in His greatness and His benevolence, He looks down at His creation. He sees a raven, an unclean bird, a bird that had no meaning in the Old Testament. Hey, the raven does not have a soul. The raven can't fellowship with God. The raven, hey, he doesn't have the Holy Spirit inside of him. And yet God is so great and He's so benevolent. He looks at that raven, He says, oh man, that's my creation. I'm going to make sure that raven has some food to eat. I'm going to make sure that he survives. Nobody's really going to understand it. They're going to ask, how does the raven eat? Nobody knows, but that's okay. I'm a great God. I can supply food for the ravens. And I want to tell you tonight that Jesus said, hey, we are worth more to God than ravens. We mean more to God than the animal. Hey, we can fellowship with God. We have the Holy Spirit of God inside of our heart. We are the creatures made in God's image. We are eternal. And when God looks at your life, hey, God cares. If you have a need tonight, God is greatly interested in your need. And I want to say tonight that for your need, God has an answer. Whenever we have a need, the answer is always with God. God can always supply. You know, it's not a problem for God to feed the ravens. No problem at all. It's no problem for God to take care of us. The problem often lies with our faith. Hey, what do you need tonight? Have you prayed about your needs recently? Have you prayed, hey, God loves you more than the ravens? You've been bought by the blood of Christ. The ravens haven't been. You have fellowship with God. Hey, God cares for the ravens. He cares for us. When you have a material need, first of all, go to God. We moved into our house over in west side of Kankakee, and we started fixing it up. And, when you're buying a fixer-upper, you try to analyze all the problems, and you try to think, okay, Man, I'm going to figure out everything that's wrong with this house, and I'm going to calculate it, and I'm going to have a plan. And then you move into the house, and you're like, wow, I had no idea all this stuff was wrong with this house. And so that's what happens sometimes. So do not buy a fixer-upper, is my point. But, you know, I had a lot of plumbing problems in that house that I were not anticipated. So, you know, we were fixing up the house. And you go into my house, there's a dining area, then there's a living area, then you step into the kitchen. If you keep going, there's an extra family room, 18 by 13. And our house in Burlington, Iowa, did not have an additional family room, just had one living room. And so I didn't have any furniture for that back room. And I spent all my savings on the repairs for the house. And Abby wanted some furniture for that room. And husbands, you know what I'm talking about. There's times where your wife asks you, you know, so what are we going to do about furniture for this room? And, you know, you want to say, well, and sometimes I was like, wow, well, I was nervous. I was like, man, you know, this is not good. I've spent my savings fixing up the house. I have no furniture for this room. And I thought, wow, what am I going to do? So, you know, of course, I told Abby it's going to be fine. It's going to be okay. You know, say the right things. And then I thought this, you know what? I need to show dependence on God. I need to pray for some furniture. And so I remember praying about this three times, and I said, Lord, I don't have any more than my savings to buy furniture for this room. I need furniture. Abby wants furniture. It would be really nice to have some furniture for this room. And then I thought to myself, you know what, if I'm going to pray for furniture, I'm talking to God, I might as well pray for some nice furniture. So I said, God, you know, I'm praying for furniture. I've always wanted brown leather furniture. So if I could have a brown leather recliner, that would be nice. If I had a three-seater couch that was leather, that would be great. And then if I had a two-seater couch, I'm serious, this is why I prayed. I said, that would be really good. So I said, Lord, please provide furniture. Please provide brown leather furniture. And I said, but God, if you do not provide brown leather furniture, that's okay. But I'm praying for. And so a month later, when Granny moved up here, they brought in, she gave us some furniture. I thought maybe we were going to get one couch. So I come home from work at about 6 o'clock, 6:30, and Abby goes, hey, Alan, we got some furniture today from Granny. I was like, oh, yeah, the furniture from Granny. That's great. And I said, wait a minute. I said, Abby, what color is the furniture? And she said, Alan, it's brown leather furniture. There's a leather recliner, there's a leather couch, three-seater, and there's a leather couch that's a two-seater. And I just thought to myself, praise God. Man, God answers prayer. Now, if you go out tonight and pray for leather furniture and you don't get it, don't tell me about it, okay? But honestly, folks, God answers prayer. Hey, our material needs that we anguish over and that we fret over and that we're anxious over. Hey, our material needs that we think, man, how is this going to work out? God is able. God can supply. God wants to hear our prayers. God wants to, hey, I don't deserve furniture like that. I put one of the couches in my office. And, hey, I don't deserve that. But you know what I say? Praise the Lord. God's good to me. Hey, when there is a need, a material need, first of all, go to God. I want to say this, number three. When there is a need in our church, first of all, go to God. As Timothy led his church, there would be specific needs that the church would encounter. And I want to say tonight, friends, that whenever there's a specific need in the church, first of all, we need to go to God in prayer. In Acts chapter 12, the church had a specific problem. Peter was locked up in prison. Acts 12:5, the Bible says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And we know the story. I'm not going to take the time to tell that story, but here's a specific problem. Peter's locked up in prison, and man, the church bands together, and they said, let's pray for Peter. And you know what? As you think about how in the world is Peter going to get out of prison, he's locked up, he's in a cell, it's under guard. Man, the Romans are there. How in the world is this problem that the church has going to be taken care of? It was no problem for God. And if God wants to meet a need in the church, God can meet a need in the church. Man, God said, okay, everybody on guard, fall asleep, break some chains, open some doors, Peter, out you go. And then the church, they didn't even believe when he showed up. And but hey, God is good. God can meet the needs of the church. Hey, have you noticed something in the church that we need? And I'm not saying tonight that we need a whole bunch of stuff in our church. We're blessed. God's blessed our church. Thank God. God's provided for this church. When you walk through the church, you just say, praise God for what God's provided. But you know what? Our church has needs. From time to time, you might notice a need in the church. It might be a need that somebody has. It might be a material need that the church has. And I want to say tonight, when we notice a specific need within the church, first of all, pray. Because God's concerned about the needs of Faith Baptist Church. And God is able to meet the needs. When I came the week before I started working for Pastor, I came in to paint the office. And so I painted the office, and I noticed the computer on the desk. It was an older computer. It wasn't really used very much recently. And I thought, wow, you know, that's an older computer. I'm not sure if that needs to be replaced or what's going on. So I painted for a couple of days. Brother Joe came in and turned the computer on Wednesday. So I painted on Monday. I came back and painted on Wednesday. And Windows did not come up on the computer. And so I thought, well, you know, I don't know. It would be nice if we could replace this computer. That's a small thing within the church, okay? A computer. I'm talking about one small need. And on Wednesday, I thought, you know, I started thinking about a computer that would be sufficient and would be a nice computer to use. When I was in Iowa, I was able to use Mac computers. I kind of got spoiled by Pastor Cranston. And so I'm kind of a Mac guy, all right? You'll forgive me. I think we're mostly PC folks in here. But God will forgive you. Amen. But you know what? I thought, man, it would be nice to get a computer. So this is on Wednesday. So I said, Lord, I'm in here painting. I'm not going to mess with this computer right now. But Lord, would you please provide a computer for my office? I prayed that on Wednesday. I prayed that on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday, on Sunday. Lord, would you please provide a computer? My first day on the job was Monday, October the 1st. And I'm saying this to say tonight that God hears prayer and that God can answer prayer. On Monday, I was going through my mail and I got a check in the mail. At first, I thought it was junk mail. I opened it up. It was not junk mail. It was a check for $555.57. And the first thing that came to my mind was, you've been praying for extra money for a computer for 5 days. This is your first day on the job. And God provided some extra money. And so the church took the money that they would have been able to spend on a PC, and I kicked in the extra money to upgrade to a Mac. And you know what? God provided a computer for my office. God gave me that computer. And I'm saying that to say this, folks. When I was like, oh man, how am I going to get a computer for my office? When I was worried about it and I was concerned about it, and it's not a problem for God. God can supply. God is able. He's a great God. He's a benevolent God. He's a God of resources. I found this out in the Christian life. God has a lot of money. God has a lot of material resources. And I want to say this with simplicity. When there's a need in the church, first of all, ask God. Hey, he cares about the small needs. God cares about a computer. Man, what are we that God would look at our lives and care about? But He does. He cares. I want to say this, and we'll be done in just a few moments. As Timothy pastored his church, the church would have corporate needs. There would be times when there would be a general need that the church encountered. I was greatly encouraged by the prayer breakfast 6 weeks ago. It was a great turnout. It was a lot of fun. We ate breakfast. We came over here. And I was really encouraged when Pastor shared his heart with the men of the church. And there was a great turnout of men. Thank God for the men of our church. And he talked about a specific general need. He said, men, we need to pray for people to be saved during the services. We need to pray for visitors to come. We need to pray for visitors to come under conviction and be saved. And I'm encouraged to be a part of our church family. The men of the church, man, their response was, yeah, hey, Pastor, your burden is our burden. And I know that that's the heart of this church. The burden of the pastor is the burden of the men. Praise God for that. And that's the way it needs to be. His burden needs to become our burden. And the men prayed and said, God, please. And I want to encourage us tonight, when there's a corporate need in the church, God is listening. When there's a corporate need in the church, God cares. Hey, God cares about Faith Baptist Church. He cares about the fact that we desire lost people to come. We desire for lost people to walk the aisle. We desire for people to come under conviction and be saved. And the answer is always with God. And when there's a corporate need, first of all, hey, we realize there's a corporate need and we pray. And we understand that, hey, we're in a post-Christian society. People are less receptive to the gospel. Okay, we understand that. Pastor talked about that. But he said, hey, let's pray. Let's pray. And I want to say this, whatever the corporate need is for the church, God hears and God is able to answer. And you know, I think that's something that the church never gets away from praying for, obviously. You know, the church, as long as the church is here till Christ comes back, the church is always going to pray for the lost to be saved. But I can say this, I was encouraged that last week that God brought a man under conviction that grew up in a different church, and the invitation was given, and he stepped out right there and came down here and said, I'm ready to trust in Christ alone. Why did that man do that? Because of the grace of God. He did that because God drew him to salvation. Man, what a blessing. Hey, God, I'm thankful for the children. Man, last week, 5 children got saved in junior church. Praise the Lord. Praise God. God is able. And so, you know what? We continue to pray for corporate needs. We continue to seek God. I'm encouraged by God answering prayer. We've been praying for our church mortgage to get paid off by the 50th anniversary. That's a great thing to pray for. I know Pastor said if it doesn't happen, it's okay. But hey, what a great thing to pray for. And what a great knowledge that if God wants it to get paid off, God will supply it. Hey, if God wants it to get paid off by the 50th, it's going to happen. Because God is able. Hey, whatever the need is, we've been praying for visitors at the prayer meeting right before the Sunday evening service. We pray for revival for ourselves and for the church. And I want to remind us tonight that God cares. God is listening. God is able. And God is working in our hearts. Hey, when there's a need for the church, first of all, go to God in prayer. For spiritual needs, for material needs, and for the needs of the church, God has the answer. I want to say this in closing. Look at 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 8. We're just going to look at 2 verses, and then we'll be done tonight. 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 8. Paul said this, and this is just a couple of closing remarks. He said, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Hey, if we want God to answer our prayers, we need to keep our heart and our life right. Can we lift up holy hands to God? Can we lift up our hands to God and pray with a clean heart? Boy, it's so important that our heart is right. Look at what he says here. Without wrath and doubting. Without anger. Man, anger is a hindrance to prayer. I woke up early this morning to study for tonight. And I thought, man, this is great. I made some coffee. I was like, I'm going to study for tonight. And Finley woke up this morning, and I was not expecting that. And so that was not good. So, and I was mad. I'll just be honest with you. I got angry. Now, I just prayed, Lord, you know, help me as I finish this message for the church. I'm going to fill in for Pastor. And then Finley wakes up at like 4:45, and I'm like, oh, boy, you know. So I lay down with Finley. I do all the stuff that she likes. Okay, Finley, you know. And then I leave, and then she gets up again. And I got angry, and I got mad. You know, sometimes you look at your kid, and you're just about to grab him, you know, and shake him or something. And, man, I was looking at Finley, and this is terrible. Don't ever do this, but I just wanted to shake her and be like, what's the matter with you? I need to study right now. And I thought, you know what? I just prayed. I just asked God for help, and now I'm mad at my daughter. So you know what I had to do? I had to say, Alan, you know what? You got to calm down. You just prayed to God. You can't just pray and then do your own thing. And that the fact that I had just prayed made me conscious of, oh, man, I don't need to lose my cool with my daughter. And so I did the right thing. I put her in bed with Abby. Amen. I said, that's it. Mom. Okay. Amen. So, but be careful about anger. Be careful about doubting. Hey, we need to pray with expectation. We need to pray trusting God. We need to pray believing God. We need to pray thinking God's going to do something for this. And then I want to say this. Look at verse number 2 and we're done. He said in verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, look at what it says, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Look at what it says, in all godliness and honesty. You know what prayer does for the heart of a Christian? It brings quietness and peace into our life. Have you ever prayed for something and you had something on your heart and you left it with God and you said, God, you know what? I don't have this figured out. This is a situation I'm concerned about. And I'm praying to you, God, please, would you do something here? And you leave it with God and you walk away and you're not worried about it anymore. See, prayer leads us into a quiet and peaceable life for God. Man, there's fruits that prayer brings into our life. Man, what a blessing. So just in closing, let's have a clean heart. And let's thank God for the privilege in the Christian life of prayer. What an amazing God. What a great God. He hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. He loves and He cares. First of all, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Okay, let's have every head bowed. every eye closed this evening, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. How many of you can say, Brother Allen, I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I've asked Christ to come into my heart. Raise your hand if that's you, if you know that you're saved. You've got that settled. I see those hands. You can put your hands down. Is there anyone here that would say, Brother Allen, I'm not sure about my salvation. I've never accepted Christ. I know this is the home crowd, but is there anyone at all that would say, Brother Allen, I'm not sure that I'm saved? Maybe tonight, at some point in the message, the Lord spoke to your heart. Maybe it was about prayer. Maybe it wasn't about prayer. Maybe it was about something different. But if the Lord spoke to your heart tonight, you say, Brother Allen, God spoke to me in some way, shape, or form. Please raise your hand if that's you. If that's your testimony. I see those hands. In just a moment, the altar is going to be open. You have an opportunity to come and pray. And I encourage you, if God spoke to your heart, come forward and pray. Maybe there's a prayer request that you just want to share with God again. But I just want to encourage us, if God spoke to you, please do business with the Lord. As the piano plays, let's all stand. And if you want to come today and pray, the altar is open. How about it tonight? First of all, do we go to the Lord in prayer? Do you have a need tonight? God cares about your need. Do you have something that's on your heart? If you pray, it's on the heart of God. If you need to come tonight, there's still time. Others have come. How about you?